Amen. For the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with this sermon series entitled Dress for Success. And I apologize now for the screens. We've got a lot of people out. Sister Mimi and Brandy, their car wouldn't start this morning. And we've got a lot of people out due to the snow. But I am proud of you guys for showing up. Amen. I remember there'd be times we could just walk in and turn around and walk out with a little snow. Amen. And so we just want to pray for all of our sick and shut in and that they make it out here soon. So it won't be any screens today. I apologize for that. For the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with this sermon series entitled Dress, D-R-E-S-S, Dress for Success. And I know that you've heard it many times, dressed, D-R-E-S-S-E-D, for success. But what the Holy Spirit has been showing me and other pastors that I vibe with is that we are not, for the most part, in Christendom, dressed for success. And as a consequence, since we have no armor, everything that the enemy is setting out to do against us, he's become successful. Depression should not run rampant through the church. And the reason that it does is because we don't have the armor on. Brokenness should not run so freely through the church. But the reason that it does is because we don't have the armor on. Our mentality shouldn't take a handful of pills to keep it regulated just to get through the day. But it happens on a daily basis with people in the church simply because we don't have our armor on. Yeah. And what we need to understand is that once we get dressed for success, success we will encounter. But as long as we walk through this earth realm, not girded with the things that God has given us to be girded with or dressed with, we will always suffer defeat. Somebody say, I don't want no more defeat. Dress for success. More than ever, the Christians need to make it a point to get and stay dressed for war. To get and stay dressed for war. That's right. In case you didn't know, you are in a war with an enemy that is playing for keeps. And I think this is why sometimes we take such brutal losses at the hands of the enemy, because we never really knew how serious he was. And the problem with the 21st century westernized church is we take vacations from Jesus, but Satan don't ever take a vacation from being evil. In fact, he loves when you hit the beach and you go dark for a week. Because there's some things that can't be on pictures that Pastor Bet and I see. How many of you, let's just be honest, how many of you went on vacation before and didn't even take your Bible because you said, I'm just chilling. Yeah. Yeah. The vacation that God blessed you with, you ain't going to say nothing to him while you own it. Lord, have mercy. So in case you didn't know that we are in a war with an enemy that plays for keeps, he does not take days off. He has no compassion. He doesn't care about who he hurts and how bad he hurts them. He just wants to hurt them, harm them, and kill them. The enemy has studied, I want you to get this, the enemy has studied you well. That's why it seems that he has the upper hand on you in so many situations, because he has watched you long enough to know your weaknesses. He knows your vices. Amen. And for this reason alone, we need to be focused on what needs to be made right in our lives, because whatever evil that you let go unchecked is a portal for the enemy to demonically have access to your life. Ouija boards, horoscopes, the tarot cards, all forms of witchcraft, and most of permission to enter into your life and home. What are you saying, Pastor? So when you read that horoscope and you be like, it be spot on, that's because it's witchcraft involved. Yeah. Sorcery and all of that. And when you read those columns, when you read those horoscopes, when you play with the tarot cards, when you're just having fun on the Ouija board, what you are doing is actually opening an access for the enemy to come into your life. One dictionary says that a portal is a doorway, a gate, or other entrance. But for the purposes of this sermon and series, I want to give you the Unity Worship Center definition of a portal in the sense that I'm discussing with you today. A portal is, get this, a demonic entrance into your home and your life for demons and other evil entities to walk into legally and cause havoc in your life due to some evil that you have connected yourself with. Oh, Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. How many in here will tell the truth and shame the devil and say, I done created some portals? Amen. Yeah, yeah. And see, here's the thing. It's okay what we've done in the past as long as in the future we're going to get it together. You see what I'm saying? So let me just go ahead and be very blunt about this. How many kids I got in here? How many understanding kids I got in here? So if you got porn in your crib, then you will always deal with the demon of lust and sexual perversion. Yeah. You'll deal with it. You'll deal with it. You will always deal with your mate not being enough or trying to duplicate what you see on screens, and somebody is going to end up emasculated. Somebody's going to end up broken. Somebody's going to end up hurt. Amen? And portals come in all types of different forms. So you have to be careful about who you let in your house. Because this is one of the easiest ways for demons to be released into your home is by letting people stop in that you really don't know. I wish you would just show up at my house and you ain't been invited. That alone make me feel like you on a mission. Now, I want you to catch this. One day, Miriam and I, the church was fairly young. We were still in Grove Temple, and we had some people that was supposed to be, you know, they had joined the church and all of this stuff. Well, the guy and his wife had got into it, and it was cold, and he was homeless. And so we said, okay, we're going to let him come stay with us for a couple of nights until we can work something out for him. The very first, of course, you know, we bring Maya in our room because we don't really know the guy like that, but we just don't want to see him out in the cold. So we bring Maya into our bedroom, and we shut the door. About 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, a heat began to come over our bedroom. I'm talking about it was bad. And when we opened the door, all you saw was red. And he was laying there on the couch, sleeping peacefully. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I slept in the living room with him. Because the devil is a lie. You ain't taking nothing in here. You ain't getting ready. I put her back in the room with the baby, and I'm in the chair. And I'm like this. And as soon as it was morning, we didn't stop for breakfast. We didn't get no orange juice. I didn't care for no coffee. Bro, you got to go. And then we had to sweep the house. Another portal. I bought some art one time. I bought 3 pieces. Cost me about $600. And I put them on the wall. And they had masks. And then it was some with it was a form of Jesus on one of them, black Jesus. And one night we were sitting in the living room, and Miriam just said, "Something's off." And so I called a friend of mine that specializes in spiritual warfare, and I told him what we had, and I sent him pictures of it. He said, "Man, get it out of here." And so we 2-something in the morning, I think it was, we are throwing $600 of my money away, just putting it in the Herbie. And somebody might say, "Well, why didn't you give it to somebody?" Because then it would have just done to them what it was gonna, what it had been doing to us. You understand what I'm saying to you? So that's a whole nother teaching. I'll teach that another time. But we're gonna talk about the armor of God. Now, God gives us 6 pieces of armor, and He gives them to us in a specific order. And the first one He gives us is truth. He gives us truth, which should be girded around our waist. And I had a picture up for you guys, but again, the screens can't be used today. So I want you to catch this. He gives us 6 pieces of armor, and He gives them to us in a specific order. And the first one He gives us is truth, which should be girded around our waist. Now, the word gird, G-I-R-D, means to prepare for a military attack. But more loosely, it refers to readying oneself for any kind of confrontation. So you got this girdle of truth around you because you are readying yourself for whatever type of confrontation. I find it interesting that this word gird is connected to the words military attack. So the girding of the waist with truth is so important to believers of Jesus, because there is a lot of false prophets out there, and the truth helps us to stay focused. Amen. Ephesians 6:12 clearly indicates that the conflict with Satan is spiritual, and therefore no earthly weapons can be effectively employed against him and his minions. And I've told many of you a story that we had a little 5'2" girl come into our church, didn't weigh 100 pounds, and there was grown men trying to manhandle her, and they couldn't. They couldn't. And one of the things that she stepped back and said, she said, "Hey, man, stop trying to deal with me physically. This is spiritual. You don't win physically." And what was so sad was that, and this is what's sad, is, and you never, if anybody's in here, you remember, I never tried to, you know, strong arm her or any of that, because we knew the rules. And the sad part is that the person that she said that to is supposed to be a man, well, is a man of God. I got all in that, didn't I? And she said it again, because he was still trying to strong arm her. And she was like, you don't get it? Honey, I'm a spirit. You can't strong arm me. And so we got to be careful. Amen. We are not given a list of specific tactics Satan will use. We don't know all the tactics, because he'll try anything. However, the passage is quite clear that when we follow all the instructions faithfully, we will be able to stand, and we will have victory regardless of what Satan's strategy is. So as long as we stay faithful to God, we have victory over every strategy that he has put together for your life. Lord, have mercy. What are you saying, Pastor? Oh, it's deep. It's million-dollar advice. I think it's a podcast out called $1 Million Worth of Gain. Well, let me give you $1.5 million. As long as you stay faithful to God, Satan's attacks won't work. Now, peep this. Some of you are saying, "Yes, they are. Yes, they can, and yes, they are." No, what you're experiencing is forming, not defeat. What do you mean, Pastor? No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. It didn't say that they weren't going to form. It just said that it wasn't And sometimes the enemy can be so vicious that the forming of the weapon can spook you. It can throw you all the way off. But the reality is, that's all it can do. One theologian put it like this. It's like having a cap gun. Ka! It sounds off, but it ain't got no power. And until you get deep enough into your walk with God, ka! Will scare you. It will make you take steps back. It will make you contemplate your destiny. Amen? And it will make you renege on your purpose. Lord, have mercy. The first element of our armor is truth. This belt immediately sets the believer apart from the world, since Satan is the father of lies. Deception is high on the list of things God considers to be an abomination. Did you hear that? So if anybody's got that scheming spirit, you need to know that God lists that high on the list. Lord, have mercy. A lying tongue is one of the things he describes as detestable to him. Y'all hear me? Everybody get that? A lying tongue, he calls that detestable. Now, when we lie, what we tell people is they can't be trusted. Huh? And you should never be in a situation that calls for you to lie. Right? And if you ever find yourself in those situations that you find yourself having to lie, you'll keep having to lie because it ain't going away. You see what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, how much. We are therefore encouraged to put on truth for our own sanctification. Now, not just for our sanctification, but for our deliverance as well as for the benefit of those to whom we witness. See, when you're operating in the truth, watch this, it gives you a power to be able to witness to people. And they know that your witness ain't like nobody else's witness. Yeah. Your witness sounds different from the witness of the one that goes to church and the club. Your witness sounds different. Your witness sounds different from the one, you know, that goes to church but don't ever read their Bible. As much Bible reading that they do as Sunday on the screens. It's much different from the one who stays in the Word. What I'm trying to tell you, beloved, is that if you have some people in your life that you're trying to bring to the kingdom of God, your walk is going to have to be solid first. Amen? In the streets, we used to say game, peep, game. In the kingdom, we say spirits, peep, spirits. You know, somebody walk up and say, oh, yeah, he gay. How you know? Spirit peep spirit. I'm sure they didn't walk up to you and say, hey, my name is Jody, I'm gay. So how you know? I mean, of course, we see people when they're being, what do they call it, flaming or whatever. Try not to get sued on here. am I good? My paralegal says I'm good. Okay, so yeah. How you know? Something ain't right about him. Well, that must be because, how'd you know? Is there something that's not right about you? Game, peep, game. Spirit, peep. Oh, Lord. Y'all being quiet now. But get this. When that girdle of truth is around you, right, it keeps the wolves away. And it stops us from being silly. Amen? In referring to the whole armor of God, Paul invokes the image of a soldier ready for battle. The belt of the Roman soldier in Paul's day was not a simple leather strap such as we wear today. It was a thick, heavy leather and metal band with a protective piece that hung down from the front of it. And the belt held the soldier's sword and other weapons. The belt of truth of the spiritual armor holds the sword of the Spirit, linking truth with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the truth. Y'all missed that. Listen, I want you to hear me and hear me good. I'm almost done already. Without the truth, we don't stand a chance. And the truth is the Word of God. And without truth, people will accept anything that comes along. Amen. Without being a keeper of the truth, you will always put your fleshly desires before God's desires for your life. Truth is needed more than flashy preaching. Truth is needed more than eloquent speech. Truth is needed more than a praise team. To be girded with truth means that I am sincerely, totally, wholly committed to the truth. Having girded your loins with truth, you must choose to allow truth to influence your life. And there are so many things in the world that we are mistakenly taking on as truth and allow it to influence our minds as well as our soul position. Paul says our girdle is truth, is made of truth. And I don't believe that that means abstract theological truth. I believe it means truth in daily living. I believe it means honesty, sincerity, openness, and frankness. Let me take it deeper. As Christians, we are usually surrounded with a lot of foolishness and hypocrisy. A lot of things that we say and do that we don't really mean, but we say them because they sound good. The church is full of religious cliches, insincerity, things we do not to please God, Or because we really want to do them, we do them so that we can please other people. I want you to understand that almost every religious group that you have associated yourself with, you will find has its own particular cliches, like, God ain't done with me yet. How many of y'all done said that before? God ain't done with me yet. The problem is, when you say that, you're lying. You're lying. Or let me just make it a little nicer. You're wrong. Because what was done on Calvary, Lord have mercy, finished everything. Anything and everything God is going to do for you, he's already done. You understand what I'm saying to you? So Kev, come here real quick. I'm not gonna twirl you around or anything this week. And I want y'all to know I'm having a seat because my wife does not believe in my physical transformation, and I'm wearing some pants that it's not my fault. You're supposed to look at the size. So God births Kevin. And God ain't looking at Kevin in the present. So I need you to go over by your seat and stand. So when God created Kevin, when God created you, he took you down there. That's the finish. That's the destiny. That's purpose fulfilled. And then he brought you, while keeping you there, to the beginning to walk into everything that God has for you. You understand what I'm saying to you? So God ain't doing no more moving. I need God to move. He's already moved. What if I'm in a hospital? He's already moved. What if my kids are tripping? He's already moved. Divorce on the horizon. He's already moved. And so then stand up. So then when you get to your spot, purpose, destiny. You understand what I'm saying to you? Everything that you was ever supposed to be, he's already done. So when we say things like, silly things like, he's not done with me yet. What? How do you get to you and then couldn't figure it out? You can have a seat. Thank you. How, that's a special kind of arrogance to say something like that. and foolishness, right?
God ain't done with me yet.
He's done with everything else. But you. You think pretty highly of yourself. Amen? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now it's up to you, as you saw, to walk into what God has already done. And some of you have been waiting on God to do this and do that, and you're waiting on something that he's already done. Some of you are you know, pressed out about things that haven't happened, and they have happened. You just walking in you and not in God, so you've yet to reach him. Okay? See, this is the thing. When you get to this point, and I really want to, beloved, I want you to catch this, okay? This is really important. When you get to the point that it's like God over everything, and people don't think that's possible. People be thinking we lying. People be like, it ain't God. No. Oh, it can be. It really can be. The question is, do you want it? Because God ain't sharing space with nothing that's not of him. You understand what I'm saying to you? So the question that I propose to you today is, do you really want it? Do you want this relationship with God? Do you want to know that no matter what comes up against you, as long as you've got him, you've got everything you need? Do you want it? And is he worth? Oh, God, you ready? You remember, because the word worship is worth-ship. It's an old English worth. What is he worth to you? Is he worth you giving up your sin? He only saved your soul. He only redeemed you. But what's he worth? See, and we got to get to the point that we do away with this usury spirit, because we try to use God like we use people. And God ain't going to smite you for that. He's just going to let you stay where you are. Some of us in here and watching online have been in the same spot for years, and we're trying to figure out why. It's because you've tried everything but him. And I promise you, it's going to always be that way until you give yourself in entirety all the way over to him. And can I just go ahead and be real about this thing? It's getting to the point to where it's going to be dangerous if you ain't made your calling and election sure. What that means is it's going to be dangerous if you're not for real about God. Because I don't know if y'all see, you know, but now things are happening in America to where they're locking the church doors on Sundays. Because people are coming in with guns and killing people in the church. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, here's the thing. I would hate to be faking coming to church every Sunday and get killed for something that I really wasn't a part of. I mean, that's when they come in with the gun, you jump up and say something like, I ain't really with them. I'm knee deep in sin. I ain't changing. I'm out. Yeah. Real talk, right? I mean, I would hate to get shot fronting. Huh? Oh, Lord. That's like you done told the whole world you got 50 keys. Now the feds is at your doorstep and you ain't got lawyer money. Please excuse my hood. Listen. So I want you to catch this. See, the thing about war is, well, let me put it like this. How do I walk into it? That might be the question, right? You ready? By keeping his word. Keeping his word. What I'm trying to tell y'all, and I'm hoping that this thing is coming across, you got to stay in that book. You got to stay in that book. You got to stay in that book. What did he say? He said, meditate on the word day and night, and when you do, you shall have success. eyed success. No, he said good success. But you got to meditate on that word. And what happens is, you know, my cousin and I were talking the other night, and the thing is that we was talking about how the word will transform you, and the reality is like it's like something comes over you to where it's like you read it and read it and read it. So now you say it, you say it, you say it, and you do it and you do it and you do it. And everybody's looking for this Jiffy cornbread quick mix on how to get their lives where they want them to be in God. And the reality is it's just doing what he says. Doing what he says. We should be a pattern of good works. Amen? Now, so how do we do it? By keeping on the girdle of truth. And always have it on. See, the thing about war is you never know when a battle within the war is going to take place. So when the time comes, you don't want to be trying to get your armor on. It needs to already be on. And the truth, God's truth, well, as I always say, will wolf-proof you. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. Excuse me. How many of you have ever hell hit your way and you had to call somebody else to pray because you really didn't know how to get through? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, yeah. Can I bless you? Because hell going to hit out of the blue again. As long as we're alive, there's going to be some hell. There's going to be some issues, right? So the way that you give yourself a roadway to victory is you don't take the girdle of truth off. See, there's six weapons, and we're going to learn this, but three of them you keep on all the time, and three of them you pick up as needed. You understand what I'm saying to you? So this truth has to always be on you. Why? Because if the truth ain't on you, then when you hear, now, how is God going to hate? Or not so much as hate, but how is God going to not love someone that is in a perverse sexual relationship? Well, God does love them, but he does not love the spirit that's on them. Now, what happens if you ain't got your truth on, you got to sit back, because when this conversation comes up, you got 5 or 10 people ready to jump you at once. And so everybody got something to say. But as long as you got truth on, you understand what I'm saying to you? You're going to walk out of that debate. It don't make no never mind if they stay gay, but you're going to walk out that conversation still saved. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want you to understand this, that every time somebody brings sin to you on whatever level, Lord have mercy, on whatever level it is, they are trying to convert you. It is another gospel. That's why Paul said, if I or anybody that rocks with me preaches anything other than what we've already preached, let them be accursed. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because they are teaching, they're preaching it to you to convert you. Oh, you ought to be with the Muslims, and you ought to be with Buddha, and you ought to be with the Jehovah Witness. And as they're telling you, as they're trying to tell you what they believe in, they're not just telling you what they're believing, they're trying to bring you over. Yeah. 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 That's why you should never have spiritual conversations with unspiritual people. I was Muslim for over 20 years, and I'm going to tell you, Allah is not alive. Not alive. Buddha is not alive. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you got to have that truth on, because some people going to tell you, did y'all see the clip? Have y'all seen the clip of the mom and them, and they got the stripper pole, and they're teaching the little 5-year-old and 6-year-old girls how to twerk and be on the pole? You see, somebody, if you ain't got no truth on, you say, oh, that's cute. It's just a form of art. No, it's training for prostitution. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's training for human trafficking. You're training them to traffic themselves when they get of age. You understand what I'm saying to you? And we sit back, and if you ain't got that truth girdle on, if you ain't got that truth belt on, you can sit back and be like, you know what? They just dancing. I mean, it ain't like they doing that in front of nobody right now. They mamas is doing something in front. You got to have the truth belt on, right?
Because without the truth bell, you know, you'll go for that mess. That's why we got so many messed up kids around here. You go for that mess without the truth bell, you know, don't spank them. Put them in a corner. Give them time out. Take away their milk and cookies. But the Bible says that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. See, that's a truth. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if a child is spoiled, you ain't never bought a pack of hamburger meat. It go bad, and then you ate it anyway, did you? Because the hamburger meat is no longer able to provide for you, to give to you, to provide substance for you. Your child, when you spare the rod and you spoil them, what you do is you make them no good for anything that God has planned for them. But without the truth belt, you don't see it. Without the truth belt, you let your government raise your kids. Without the truth belt, you let Grand Theft Auto raise your kids. Without the truth belt, you let PlayStation 5 and Xbox run your kids, raise your kids. Huh? Without the truth belt, you let the phone be the electronic babysitter. You see? But the Bible said, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. Now, that don't mean that they ain't going to trip. That ain't going to mean they ain't going to smell themselves. That ain't going to mean that you ain't going to have to snatch them up every now and again. But it does mean that even if they do trip, even if they do get to smelling themselves, there's going to come a time when what's been deposited into them will come back on them and bring them back to him. Oh, God. See, this truth right here, you can't get away from it. It's too good. It's too precious. You feel it. You know it's the truth. You can't get away from this. And the only way that you can is if you take your girdle off. But peep game, the girdle holds the truth, and the truth is the word of God. Oh, the shield of, oh, y'all ain't hearing me. And here's what the truth does, right? When the truth, you should have got me some smaller pants. I got to sit down. I can't believe you. Help me, Lord. I want you to understand this. The truth will secure you. It will secure you. It will have your back. And when you get that thing so deep down on the inside of you, it don't matter what anything and anybody's talking about. You understand? And so what I had to learn was that the truth wasn't far enough down in me. Amen? And this is why you need to examine yourself. You need to examine yourself on a daily basis. When you wild out and you operate wrong, you know, instead of just staying wrong and prideful, sit down for a minute and say, how'd that happen? How'd I end up acting like that? All this Bible I know, how'd I end up acting like that? Well, you take your truth belt off, and it's the first piece of the armor, because it's really important, because if you don't got the truth, you don't got nothing else. You don't got the truth, you don't got nothing else. It doesn't matter if you got the shield of faith and all, the helmet of salvation. None of that matters if you don't have the truth. Because without the truth, you're going to keep going back and forth about what's right and wrong. And it should never be a debate about right and wrong. Always do the right thing, because it's always the right thing to do. Amen? In closing, when you get that truth deep down on the inside of you, you won't be operating double-minded anymore. When you get that truth down on the inside of you, you go from victim to I'm not having it. When that truth of God is deep down on the inside of you, it gives you a peace that you can't explain, because no matter what is coming up against you, you have decided to trust God with it all. And you know that God can do all things but fail and lie. And when that truth is deep down on the inside of you, it will remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you will operate as so. It reminds you It protects you. It shields you. It checks you. It brings you closer to the Word of God. Lord, have mercy. It's so very important. It's so very important that you and that Word become one. You and that Word. Here should be, everybody had a resolution or whatever. Here should be the resolution for 24. I want to look as much like God as I can. Amen. Because the Bible says, the Bible, you know, it teaches, it's a mirror. And we're supposed to be able to look at that Bible and see us. Yeah. And that means you're going to have to forsake everything that's not of God. My cousin was on a ventilator. He had COVID. When COVID first came out and the vaccines came out, and we hadn't taken the vaccine, and I'm not trying to get anybody, I want this to make sense to you. And the vaccine was out and we hadn't taken it, and we were like, nah, I ain't doing that. I'm cool. But then I was checking on my cousin, and you know, he was 56 years old, and I'm like, his sister is telling me, you can call him when I get up there and I'll put the phone on speaker because he can understand you. I said, whoa, hold on. He's conscious? She said, yeah. I said, hold on. We was in the car, remember that? I said, hold on. He knows he's fighting this stuff? She said, yeah. And I got to thinking at that very moment, after we got off the phone, I said, man, I can't make you do nothing, but I'm getting these shots. I hope you do too. And the reason why, I want you to catch this, because I never want to be, let me back that thing up. So we decided on the strength of that because I said I never want to be in a situation, and he had taken a verbal stance against the vaccine, but now he's fighting for his life at this time, right? And he knows it. He knows it. And I said, I'm taking that vaccine because I don't ever want to catch COVID. They put that ventilator down me, and I'm conscious and going, I wonder if this would be the case if I took the vaccine. I never want to die wondering if I'd have done something different. Maybe I wouldn't be dying right now, right? Let's make it spiritual. If hell is real, and we know it is, what's it going to feel like for those that did not get serious about the Lord to one day in that second heaven where hell resides and you're burning horrifically? And the way I understand it, you have a keen understanding of where you are. Wouldn't it be crazy to be sitting there wondering, you mean to tell me this wouldn't have happened if I'd have followed him? Not just read the Bible, followed him. You mean to tell me this torture that I take and will take for eternity, which means it shall never end. I could have missed this, and I could have been in heaven, happy, rejoicing with the angels, sitting on the right hand side of the Father, and I had the opportunity, but I chose something else. I didn't think it was going to be true. I didn't think there'd be a gnashing of teeth. I didn't think there'd be a constant torture. Lady that wrote Divine Revelations of Hell, she said people was screaming down in hell saying, I'll do right. Just give me a chance. And Jesus was in tears because he could not do it or it would make him a lie. He couldn't bring them out of hell because that would make him a lie. And even though they had went to hell, he still loved them dearly.
but there was nothing he could do. What I'm saying to you, beloved, in my closing is stop acting like this might not be or it might be. Do you really want to chance your life on it, your eternity on it? So let me, in closing, you do 1,000 years, and you go, 1,000 years, that's got to be it. Nope, not for eternity. And you are constantly being tortured. That ain't something I want to gamble with. That ain't something I want to take a chance with. So I'm going to keep this girdle of truth around my waist, so that when evil comes my way, I have something to fight it off with. Amen? Let's thank God for that with a hand clap. Amen. For the word of God. Can I have this one today? You got it? You sure? If there is anybody in this room who has not made their calling and election sure, you have not given your life over to Jesus. I come to church, but I really ain't saved. I come to church, I play the role, I slip through the cracks, I'm good. But today, you learn some things that tell you you might not be as good as you thought you was. And today, if there is anyone that desires to give their life to Jesus, I offer you the invitation to come on down. Like, I ain't talking about like, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I'm on the praise team. Yeah, I'm talking about, I said, give your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.